Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
So great to have you here, as my wonderful wife Rachel already welcomed you. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name's Marty, and together with Rachel, like she said, we get the great privilege of leading this location of Elevation, which is awesome. And we, if you're new to us, an Elevation, we're one church across 11 locations. We're the only one on the West Coast. Everyone else is on the East Coast. But we're here in the Great West, in the greatest place to be, in an amazing place called Mandurah. If you're visiting, welcome. You've come to paradise, just in case you didn't know. And it's awesome to have you here. But maybe, Chris, if you can grab me a little stand there, would be amazing, because I can't hold this and do that all at the same time. That would be, I'll practice and get better. But so good to have you here. And this morning, I just have a short message for you. Some of you are like, yes, a short message. Short message for you this morning, because we're going to take some extended time at the end of this service to pray for people. This is our anointing service for the start of the year. And you may be thinking, anointing service, that sounds very church, sounds very Christian. That's great, but I've got absolutely no idea what that means. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the next 15, 20 minutes or so to explain what that is. But even more than just explain what that is, I believe that for each and every single person, there's an encounter to have with God, with His Spirit here this morning. And you may have never had that encounter before. Maybe you have and it was a long time ago and it's been a while, or maybe you're somewhere in between either of those two stretches. But I believe that it's not just going to be explanation, but that God's Spirit is here for each and every one of us, and He wants to have a relationship with you, and we're going to have an incredible encounter with that this morning. If you think about the word anoint from the dictionary, literally it just means this. I've got a few props coming out there, so don't be distracted. We'll get to those in a second. But anoint means to ceremonially, I said that incorrectly, that's all right, confer divine or holy office over a priest, or a monarch by smearing or rubbing with oil. Okay, so to confer divine or holy office over a priest or a monarch by smearing or rubbing with oil. And so for thousands of years, people have been anointed. They may have been anointed to be, you know, the king or the queen or something. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, there's many people that are anointed. And so for Christians, for those that believe in God, in our Christian view, when we see the word oil, it has even greater significance, because in the Bible it's a picture, it's a symbol of God's Holy Spirit. And I'll show you one example of this. This is from the New Testament, which is the last third of the Bible. So in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is there and he goes to the temple. So he hasn't been going on with his ministry for that long so far, but he goes to the temple like he always does, and then he steps up to read from one of the scrolls, which are now our Old Testament. And the Bible says that they give him the scroll of Isaiah, and he flicks through. Side note, there was no chapters or verse numbers then, so you know, he finds the place in Isaiah and he reads this out. So this is from Luke chapter 4 verse 18. So Jesus reads this out in the temple. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." You see, it's quite clear from this passage of Scripture in the Bible, we see the Spirit of the Lord and this anointing, or Jesus saying, "I'm anointed for something." We see them being linked really directly. This oil picture gives us this idea that the Holy Spirit, He wants to come and He wants to fill our lives. But notice that when Jesus reads from the prophecy in Isaiah that's about Himself, He doesn't say that He's anointed and then states all His titles. You know, we tend to think when it comes to anointing, it's about title, like you're the king, you're the queen, you're, you know, something else. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says that he's anointed for a mission. Did he have some titles that he could claim? Absolutely. Son of God, Savior of the world, the Christ, Messiah, the Word. Jesus could have said, I am anointed and here's my title. Here's who I am. But instead, what he does, he says, I'm anointed. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and here's what's going to happen. I'm going to bring good news to the poor. I'm going to see captives released. I'm going to see that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. I'm here to declare that now is the year, or now is the time of the favor of the Lord. And then do you know what he did? He got on mission, doing exactly what he said he was anointed for, bringing good news, setting people free, not just in that time, in the next 3 years of his ministry, but still thousands of years later, we talk about the mission that Jesus had because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, anointed him, not just for some title, but anointed him for a mission to go out in the world and to make a difference. You see, a great definition is this, is to be anointed by God is not only to be picked, but also to be empowered by God through his Spirit for the task to which he has called you. Not only picked by God, but given power, filled with his Spirit, because there is a task, there is a mission for each and every one of us. John 15, we'll turn here real quick, verse 16. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, but it's the word of God that speaks to us and a great promise to our lives as well. Jesus says this, he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. You see, this morning, I want to tell you that you've been picked by God. You might have thought that you chose him, but ultimately, God chose you. He let his Holy Spirit go forth and call you to him. There's many that he's done that for. They haven't picked up that calling. But ultimately, what we need to understand is that you have been picked by God. He chose you. And not only that, is he chose and appointed you for something. He chose and anointed you to be the father and mother to your children. He chose and appointed you to make a difference in your workplace. He chose and appointed you to be an influence with him, with your friends, in your sporting clubs, sporting groups, an influence in your extended family, at your dance school, to be a peacemaker in your home, to be a light to your high school, to make a difference in your university. And today, I want to tell you that God has not only picked you, but he's filled you with power for a mission. And this morning, our prayer and our heart is that we would seek God, that we would seek his Spirit, so that he comes and fills us. Because you know what? In not too distant future, we're walking out these doors, and maybe Monday you walk back into work, or maybe you walk back into work again, or maybe out of here, I'm assuming you're probably going to go home at some point today, but you walk back into our homes, back into our families, back into wherever we go, back into our friendship groups, and God has called you and appointed you, and there's a power through his Spirit that he wants to come and fill you with today. And today, like I said, we're going to take some time, and we're going to pray for people. We even have some oil, which we're, you know, not going to, there's been suggested that we could do like an olive oil spray can, you know what I mean, and just go like on the thing, quick and easy, line up, done. But we've got some ceremonial oil that we're going to use. It'll just be a dab, don't worry. But I want to tell you that there's nothing special about the oil. A televangelist didn't find it in an old Jewish dig, and then we didn't send him $1,000 and he sent us this, you know, real oil or anything. It's nothing like that. There's nothing special. It's not some scented, you know, aroma-filled oil that's going to unlock that 70% of your brain that you don't use, or it's going to, like, relax your muscles so you step out of here amazed. No, there's nothing like that. It's just oil. Sorry to break it to you. It's just oil. But what it is that it's a physical reminder for 2020, for this year, for this new decade, that God has placed you where you are on purpose. That he's chosen you. That he's appointed you. It's taking time and space at the end of this service to rediscover or maybe discover for the first time that God has a mission for you, that not only has he called you to, but that he's got his power ready to flow into you. And that he's appointed this church, and that's not the four walls of this building, but that's you and me, those that call this church home, the community of believers, that he's called us with a mission. That we're to bring life to this community. That we're to bring the life of Jesus to this neighborhood, to the city of Mandra, to the Peel region, to Western Australia, to the rest of Australia and beyond. That God has called us with a mission that for us corporately as a church together, he wants to come and fill us with power as we seek him, as Rach talked about, as we seek him during this prayer and fasting time. I encourage you as much as you can. We'll be doing this. Actually deleted the apps already this morning. Why don't you step off social media if that's something for you, or like I've said the last couple of weeks, Candy Crush, or you know, Gumtree searching, or YouTube cat videos, or whatever it is that comes and steals your time. Could you step off memes? Oh, we just got real for a second. Would you step off for 14 days? Give some time and space for prayer, for reflection, for reading God's word, because all those things are great and they've all got positives, but I can't think of a bigger time stealer than the thing that's always, although mine's not at the moment, so that's a good example, that's always attached to us somewhere. And so our prayer as a church is that we'd create an environment, not just on a Sunday, but on a Monday morning as we step back into work, or Sunday night if you're on night shift, or you know, during the week, in our homes, in our families, in our personal time, an environment that inspires people to have an intimate and real relationship with Jesus. An environment that inspires people to healthy, thriving relationships with others and to ultimately be a great influence in our world wherever we are. See, and I want to tell you that that's not just, even though we're taking some time and space this morning, it's not just a one-time event. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, says this in Ephesians chapter 5. It'll be on the screen in a second. He says this, "So be careful now how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." That word filled there in the original language that this part of the Bible was written in, which is Greek, that word filled is written as a present tense verb. Paul doesn't say, don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. Remember at one time that you were filled with the Spirit. He doesn't say that. He also doesn't say, you know, don't drink too much wine because it'll ruin your life. But remember that in some point coming, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. No, Paul uses this present tense verb to denote that the filling of the Spirit, it's a continual experience. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's something that God is calling us to seek after each and every week, each and every day, that his Spirit is there ready to pour out on us. And that's where my wonderful buckets here come into play. I know you've all been dying to wonder what they're about. Now, if you notice here, by the way, this analogy works most of the time. So I'm just sort of putting that out there. It's not complicated. The black doesn't represent anything. The yellow doesn't represent anything. It's just the buckets that were out the back, let's be honest. Okay, but here we've got two black buckets. If we notice, which may be hard from further back, you can see both of them, you know, they're not in the greatest condition. A little bit dirty, you know, a little bit beaten up, they got some scratches and they got some bumps on them. And now I've got my yellow bucket hiding down here. And so this bucket, which is actually filled with water, this one represents God's Spirit. His, like I said, the yellow doesn't mean anything, so don't look too far into it, okay? This is God's Spirit that's ready to pour out in our lives. It's ready to fill us. It's ready to come and fill us with power to accomplish that mission that God has for our lives. And so we're going to take one bucket, and as God starts to pour into this bucket. So pour in the Spirit. This bucket sounds like I'm doing a children's story. This little bucket went to town. No, this little bucket went to work and poured out some hope, poured out some encouragement, came with an opposite spirit when everyone else was being negative, came and brought optimism, came and said, you know, this might be going on, but I believe better days are ahead. This bucket went to its family and made a difference, brought influence. This bucket sowed into their son or their daughter, no matter what age. This bucket started to pour out all over the place. Well, really, all over the place. And what we find is this bucket becomes empty. I know, amazing. See, very, wow, who would have thought? It becomes empty. And it does that, and it starts getting empty and needing God's Spirit to fill it again, not because, you know, God's holding back or anything like that, but just because pouring out God's Spirit into our community, into our families, just takes some work. It takes some effort. It's hard dying to yourself. It's hard not being selfish. It's hard putting others first. It's hard being generous sometimes. It takes some work and it takes some effort. And so it needs filling again. And so this is one bucket. But now I've got my other bucket, also beaten up. Also right here. And God's Spirit starts to pour into this bucket. And pour and pour. But this bucket maybe tried to pour out God's Spirit once before. And maybe like me saying about is now fearful. Maybe there was some rejection attached. Maybe there was some disappointment. Maybe they tried to step out in faith and do something great for God, and for some reason it just didn't click and didn't work together, and there was disappointment. Or maybe you were praying and believing for a miracle in your family and it hasn't happened the way that you thought it was going to happen. And so this bucket here, it's filled, but the same as this one, hopefully, if this works properly, it starts to get empty. I'm thinking of a song. Can you think of what it is? That's the one. And I love that you said book it. It's so good. Bouquet, that's right. That's right. Anyway, keeping up appearances, jokes? No. Okay. All right. Anyway, this bucket also is feeling like it's empty. This bucket is like, I'm living, I'm doing, I'm, you know, going to work, I'm 9-to-5 grind, or, you know, 2-and-1 grind, whatever we're on, if we're FIFO, or, you know, I'm doing all this stuff, but I just feel, maybe I should have made the hole bigger. Anyway, I'm just feeling like I'm getting a bit empty. Just helped it there. And it's dry again. Needs God's Spirit to come and fill it again. My whole point is simply this. We're all broken. We all make mistakes. We're all possibly looking like that beaten up bucket. Maybe some of us a little bit more beaten up than others, but we won't go there. We have stuff happen, but God's Spirit wants to pour into us. We all need the continual filling of God's Holy Spirit. But here's pretty much my one question to you this morning. Do you need filling because you poured out, or do you need filling because you leaked out? You see, both need filling from the Holy Spirit, both, because we all need His Spirit. But I've found in my life there's sometimes where I let disappointment come around, where I let fear, where I let insecurities, where I let my failure speak to me. And I was dry. I was empty. And that's okay. I needed God to fill me, but it was because I leaked out, not because I poured out. But I believe for us as a church, I believe for each and every individual, that God is calling us into 2020. Would we, yep, desperately seek God because we need Him so much? Would we, yes, say, God, I feel dry. I need Your Spirit. I need Your power in my life. I need Your Holy Spirit to come into my life and make a difference. Will we do that? But would we do that because we're empty from pouring out? Would we do that because we're empty from giving out? Because we're empty from dispensing hope and dispensing love and dispensing joy to everyone? Would we cry out to God and say, I need You to fill me because I need to pour out into my workplace. I need to pour out into my family. I need to pour out into my community wherever I am. Personally, I want my 2020 to be, God, I need your spirit so much because I'm pouring and I'm pouring and I need you to fill me because I want to be a vessel that God works through. I want to be a vessel that God pours through because he's looking for that. Really quick side note, if we think of the miracle when Jesus turns 5 loaves and 2 fish to, you know, feed 5,000 plus, this is Jesus, the Son of God we're talking about. He could have done it anyway. He could have, you know, rained down Krispy Kremes from heaven. He could have, you know, had, you know, the perfectly cooked lamb roast just pop out of the ground. He could have had bacon and egg rolls with the garlic aioli, you know, come out and avo and, you know, be there and ready to go. But no, what does he do? He chooses to work through someone, a little kid who probably didn't even pack his lunch. Let's be honest, it was probably his mum. His mum said, Johnny, you're not leaving until you take these 5 loaves and 2 fish. God chooses to work through people even though he doesn't have to. And as we seek God this morning as a church, I believe that this place houses a people, houses a community of believers that will pour out into Mandurah this year. That will pour out hope, that will pour out life, that will pour out grace, and that will pour out love wherever we are. And so, as a church, before we pray for people in a moment, and by the way, there's no pressure. If you would not like to be prayed for, that's totally fine, and I'll give you a little bit of mechanics of how that happens in a second. But before we do that, to see a life of Jesus flow out in and through our church and through our community. It's not definitely not a one man and definitely not a one couple show here at all. But we have an incredible team in a whole bunch of different areas taking different responsibilities. And what we'd love to do this morning is just take a quick moment to introduce our core team that lead ministry areas, and we've got some exciting announcement as well, which is fantastic. But so I'd love, oh thanks Kristen, since you just sat down, so I'd love Josh and Kristen to come to the platform so we can welcome them. So for 2020, as they did last year, Josh and Kristen will be our worship directors, lead our worship and creative teams, doing a phenomenal job. We're so proud of them, and God's just working in and through their lives in an incredible way. Also, Chris and Jackie, if you guys want to come out, leading our youth and young adults, which is amazing. Great young adults, thriving life group that's going so well. And Friday night, just investing and sowing into young people, into teenagers, which is just so exciting to see. And also we've got another couple that are stepping up into a role to oversee and lead our kids team. And so they'll be our kids directors for this year, which we're really excited about. And that's Kevin and Tanya Lindley here. So we'd love you to... We're just so excited to see what God does in and through these guys, and excited for our Toddler Jam, which is a midweek ministry that, you know, connects with families and young moms and young dads and young carers, bring their kids in, which they're going to lead as well, which is going to be amazing. But we have a whole bunch of other team as well, but just this morning we wanted to highlight these guys that lead whole ministries for us, which is exciting.